Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And we are really wrapping up the end of the year here, aren't we? It's at the end of 2016. And I've got here pretty fast. I hope all of you enjoyed your holidays wherever you are. And some are out in warm weathers, others in cold weather. And hope you're having a lot of peace and good joy. New Year's next week, right around the corner, the end of this week, actually. And today, our show is the end of the year show. And what I have learned about life so far, I'm really thrilled because Mary Blake is coming on in a moment, too. And Mary has so many life lessons, and she is proud to tell us her age. I can't wait to be when she comes on. And so many women say they lie about their age or they're afraid to talk about their age, and she's just an amazing, amazing, incredible woman that's going to share the show with me today. And what I've learned about life so far, it always includes, of course, planning for next year, reflecting. The real estate business is so amazing because in this industry, we're able to meet so many people and share in their lives in ways that would never have happened if not for meeting them through buying, selling, or getting into the business. It just puts you in touch with so many people. I'm so blessed. Everybody needs to live somewhere to invest, to grow, and we all have so many unique personalities, dreams, etc., which really keeps it interesting at times. And we get to hear a lot. There's a lot of things we never disclose, of course. And to say the least, it's so interesting. We also share many common traits about life. And today, I want to share, and I want to join in with Mary and share what I've learned about life so far, what Mary's learned, and we've asked others as well. Join us, too, if you want to hear one-liners of wisdom that do apply to life and other life lessons. Most important one is that it's your life, not someone else's. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mary Blake. Hey, Mary, thank you for coming on today.
Hey there, happy to be here to help you wrap up the year.
How is Manhattan up there?
Manhattan is just gorgeous, just as usual. I mean, it's a wonderful place to be. So many
There's
things to do, so
on.
Many people, such, you know, it's just marvelous.
It's just, the energy is fabulous, isn't it? Just no matter what time of year, there's always a very, very upbeat place.
You know, I've lived in many, many different places, small towns, medium-sized towns. I've lived in, what, I guess, about five states, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like New York.
No. I think it's one of those places with whatever you decide you want to do, you could do it and probably within a few blocks from where you live, right? Pretty
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. No question about it. It's
amazing.
There's always something to do, some adventure that you can go on. It's something. If you want to do something, you know, I mean, I've lived in towns where you had to plan ahead for months before something came in town, you know?
Sure. And it's so nice now we can travel and then get to these different places and come back. But you're right. Well, in New York, though, it just seems that one thing I love about Manhattan area, New York City, the you know, crowded parts of it, because lots and lots of people, but people in from all over parts of the world, people from all walks of life, and it seems that everybody just gets along, you know, and accepts and blends, and it's pretty interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's no question about that. I mean, we do, and New York is a very forgiving place. They don't force you to think and dress and act like they do.
That's a great part of life, isn't it? To forgive and to accept each other. I think those are really big lessons.
Absolutely.
Big lessons, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, you know, Mary, our hour flies by all the time, you know, of course. But I want to ask you are amazing, and I know you're okay with us with telling your age, right? Because you've always been, as long as I've known you, fine with it.
Of course.
And you're amazing how you just keep on going and keep on going and have been through life's, you know, trials and tribulations, and you just recently, I believe, broke your hip, right? And can you tell us a little bit, do you mind telling us your age and just give us a little bit of insight on that? Because you're doing more than I've seen people do in their 40s and 50s after breaking a bone.
to be quite literal, which is my nature, I am 87 and a half.
Wow. God bless you. And you look like
you're
about
70. You know, when you're young, you always have to throw in the half year. And I think I'm young, you know?
I like that. Yeah. Yeah. And we women that are in the Middle Ages don't even want to say our age until we get up to that day. I guess it's something we get through and get past and then get on the other side, huh?
Yeah. I guess so. I guess that's the way it is. But you know, you get to the point where you realize that your age is just a dumb number.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've known 17-year-olds who were old, you know. It took them 15 minutes to get up out of a chair.
It's a real big mindset, isn't it? It's definitely a mindset, and taking care of ourselves, too.
Yeah.
What do you do? Well, tell it. You broke your hip. How many months ago has that been? Because you were getting around so quickly.
It was in August. I would be doing. I finally found an osteopathic doctor who told me everything that I've been telling my surgeon, who's saying, but you are months ahead of people on the recovery scale. What he says, everything's fine. And so he told me that my right leg is shorter than my left leg, which I've been trying to tell my surgeon. I didn't have to tell this guy. He told me. And he also told me that I have bursitis in my hip and my knee, and it's because of walking funny, which I know, you know. I mean,
but you were actually walking out within 2 or 3 weeks. I remember talking, you were walking on with a cane. After your hip,
I walked
you broke
out
your hip,
of the hospital.
Right? It was pretty fast.
I walked out of the hospital on a cane at 6 days.
Unbelievable. And
well, I was clear. I was cleared by the hospital physical therapy people. They started me on the walker, and the first day I was on the walker, and they said, "You know, it's like you're getting around so well. I don't think you need the walker. Let's try the cane." I said, "Fine."
Amazing.
No.
Wow.
So I had already had plenty of practice on the cane, and so I was fine. So they wanted to put me in a wheelchair, and I said, "Never mind." You know, well, we have to. I said, "Okay," but when
you
get to the lobby,
hospital.
I'm on my own. Thanks.
I love it. And you've been, I mean, it's just, what do you attribute that to? Because you're good health, good food, good mindset?
Several things. The mindset is number one. The yoga and the supplements that I take, because I think most intelligent people now understand that you can't get proper nourishment for them from the foods you get in the grocery store. You have to supplement.
Okay.
I mean, they taste nice and they look good and everything, but they just don't have the nourishment that foods used to. I mean, you have to eat 25 carrots to get the amount of beta carotene that we used to pull out of our garden.
You're right. We've just, so much is being depleted depending on where you are and our food chain.
Yeah. So, you know, I do I make my shakes. I have the Nutribullet and you know, I didn't like juicing because you had to throw away all the pulp, and that to me seemed like that was that was where a lot of the nourishment was. It didn't make any sense.
Oh, so you just kind of
so
you've been doing that.
So the Nutribullet is, yeah.
Fantastic.
So the Nutribullet, you keep it all.
That makes more sense. That makes sense because you're just in great shape. I'm just going to say I was up in Manhattan, the end of November, beginning of December, and we met for dinner and we went to see a comedy show later. And I have got to say, you just kept going. We went in a cab, but then we were walking quite a distance, and I was just shocked. You were going completely, and it was a pretty good distance, and it was, and you didn't once say stop. Wait a minute. Nope. I can't walk. I can't do that. I was actually shocked. I didn't want to ruin the moment. You know, we were having a good time to be. Oh my God, I can't believe you're able to do this like this. So it was just amazing, and I just,
I would have said
impressed.
You
I'm
doubted
like,
me.
I want to learn your secret. Yeah, I can't keep it up with you. And you're really, but I was really impressed. And you kept going up and up the steps and down the steps and around. You just kept like the Energizer Bunny. I mean, like you didn't. I would not have known you broke your hip if I didn't know. You know, so I think your attitude, you know, I was talking to somebody at one of the assisted living centers, well, it's a center where where they buy their own property too if they want to live in. And so the woman said she deals with 100 and some people that live there all the time, and some are 100, 70s, 80s, 90s, and she said the number one common denominator she finds in all of them is they're having a good attitude, and saying what you just said is like age is really a number.
Yeah.
I think that that's huge because you do see people younger going, oh, I'm almost 50, I'm 60 now, oh, and they're already heading down the hill. Like, and I have to tell you, for someone that's in their 50s now, I do wake up with aches that I never had before, and I'm going, wait a minute, how do I get rid of these, right? You know, so things change.
Sure.
But your attitude is fantastic, and I want to go through. I promised in here we were going to do some one-liners and just things about life and different things and comments that some people have said. And I know me. I always say God is real. I say this too shall pass. Never assume. You know how it's so easy for us to assume and ruin our day. Even if you're walking on the street and you say hi and somebody doesn't say hi, and I'm not going to let that ruin my day. Some people may
think, I call that the Woody Allen syndrome. He did this great skit where he had a blind date, and he took three showers, and he changed clothes six times, and he wanted to get it just right, you know, and then he said, should I take her candy, or should I take her flowers? Oh well, I'll take her both. So he's going walking down the sidewalk with his candy and his flowers, and suddenly he says to himself, "What if she doesn't like short guys? What if she doesn't like Jews? What if she doesn't like guys with freckles? What if she doesn't like guys that wear glasses? And by the time he got there, he had really worked himself into a terrible state. She opened the door and said, "Well, hello, you must be Woody." He takes the flowers and the candies and throws them at her and says, "Take them. Who wants to go out with you anyhow?"
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's a very good point about assuming and what we do in our minds, right?
Yeah.
To twirl and
yeah.
twirl and twirl and have all those thoughts and the negative thoughts
yeah.
and then, boom, stop
mm-hmm.
a lot of things we want to do, right? Just
exactly.
just totally throw it out the window. Oh, that's a really good example. You just
yeah.
So
that's my Woody Allen syndrome. You know, you can talk yourself into or out of anything.
It's so true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. When we assume that person that didn't you say yes back or hi back, you know, was didn't like
mm-hmm.
us or was mad at us, they might be deaf.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have heard us. They may be afraid
exactly.
to say no things.
Yeah.
I had a
yeah.
cab driver in New York tell me, because I love taking the cab, I mean, getting the stories. You get so many stories. And I had a cab driver. Oh, my gosh, unbelievable stories and takes and perceptions and oh, my goodness. But
yeah.
I had one tell me, because I'm always like, hi, and I'll talk to everybody anywhere, anytime. And he's like,
yeah.
you know, you can't do that. You can't hear in New York say hi to everybody. I'm like, why not? It's everybody. Because they'll think you're crazy. They'll say, what are you going to do? What are you going to grab me? Are you going to do something? I'm like, oh, my goodness. Okay. But, you know, he ended up being really great by the time. And I said I appreciated his advice. So it's just so funny how we assume this and assume that. And you're right, we can talk
yeah.
ourselves out of
it. Yeah,
many,
I call
many
it
things.
Assumptionitis. Dangerous disease.
Assumptionitis. I'm going to remember the Woody Allen syndrome, too. I love it.
Yeah.
So the other one is don't second-guess yourself when you feel sure of what you want, when you know it. I mean, there's plenty of times we're not sure and we need more information, but you ever have that time where you just know?
You talk yourself out of something that you know,
but you're
yourself.
But you're second-guessing. You know
you
how
say,
something feels good
it,
and
I knew
feels
it,
right?
I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Every
and
time.
And you don't want to do
yeah.
it. I want to.
Yeah.
There's some quotes I'm just going to throw in, just because our time we're going through and the
yeah.
timing with things. There's a Goodreads quotes, and here's one that a Judith McNaught, who wrote "Remember When," said, "There will be a few times in your life when all instincts will tell you to do something that defies logic, upsets your plans, and may seem crazy to others. When that happens, you just do it." Listen to your instincts and ignore everything else. Ignore logic, ignore the odds, ignore the complications, and just go for it. Of course, this is all within reason if you know, so it's not something safe. But you know when you just know you really want to go do it, and you're,
yeah.
it's a dream of yours,
yeah.
you should not second guess yourself.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I put here,
right.
these are the ones on the one-liners are mine, and then we're adding
yeah.
in and going in. We always have trials and tribulations, but with time, it always gets better. You know, you can be just wanting to die practically, just so
yeah.
upset
mm-hmm.
or grieving, and
mm-hmm.
in time,
mm-hmm.
everything gets better. It could take a day, a month, a year,
yeah.
2 years, 5 years. It may take longer than you want, but it's good to know that in time, this will pass. In time, it'll get better. Sometimes things happen, we're not able to just snap our fingers and our attitude's so perfect, but for most things we can. For most things we can persevere and push ourselves through and make it a better day, right? There's, you know.
Yes.
But everything
yes,
in time
absolutely.
Will always get better.
My favorite aunt used to say, "This too shall pass." And when I was
absolutely.
A child, I would say, "What? What does that mean? What?" You know, it didn't make any sense to me that it would pass. But it would pass and it would still be terrible, you know, because it was terrible and it's going to stay terrible. But she
exactly.
was right.
Exactly. It's like you feel like it's the end of the world when you're younger, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to change, and right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
they talk
anything,
about people that...
Think,
yeah?
Go ahead. If anything, I think that is the biggest thing that you can learn from life. is that it's not, nothing is really big enough to be the end of the world. It
no,
really isn't.
Even on your worst day. But
yeah.
It can be, but it can seem that way at time, and there's things that happen that can be so overwhelming, and it will, you know, they talk about like with suicide prevention or suicide situation, if that person could have just reached out and talked to one other person, you know,
right.
Or got out and got amongst people or made that phone call or just went to sleep, not with a bunch of pills or drugs, you know what I mean, because you have to go to the hospital if that just happened. But if they just would, you know, realize that tomorrow is going to be a better day. You know, if somebody's really depressed, and again, not taking the drugs, not taking the pills, because then you need to be careful you don't, you know, overdose. I mean, that's just not very dangerous.
Sure.
But it's nothing wrong with crawling in bed and crying and reading a good book and I'm calling it a day, you know, call out sick and cry until the next day. And you may wake up and find it, wow, I'm okay. You know, it's just really you're right. That is a big, huge lesson.
Permission to have a day off from time to time.
Yes.
Take a day off and just, you know, recovery time. Just let it soak in. Get used to it, deal with it, and know that you're going to be fine. You've been through worse. That's one of the blessings of being older is that you can always realize that you've been through worse and you made it.
Isn't that, and it still, time still goes, things still work out. That is a blessing of being older, I think, because when you've done something so many times, right, and you've always still landed on your feet and you're still living and breathing, you start to say, wow, that wasn't such a big deal, was it? You know,
exactly.
Or I think the other thing about, you know, getting older, too, is to remember, you know. Here's a quote from Haruki Murakami, maybe spell. And once the storm is over, you won't remember how you made it through, how you managed to survive. You won't even be sure whether the storm is really over. But one thing is certain, when you come out of the storm, you won't be the same person who walked in. And that's what the storm's all about. And that's this thing we call life, right? That we make it through. We don't want to forget the memories of the things that made the storm happen, maybe because we want to be wiser the next time, or maybe it isn't so much wiser, it's just being able to handle it a little bit differently.
And if you don't learn, the important thing is to learn something from everything that happens to you, because if you don't, you went through it for nothing.
Absolutely. And that's one of the quotes that for me on the end of the year is keep on learning. It keeps your mind sharp, and none of us will ever know anything. And it's such an interesting world. There's just so much to keep going. Sometimes when one door closes, another opens. I write, make new friends. I've seen this before written. Keep the old. One is silver, the other gold. And if some just fall away, that's okay too. You hear that? Remember the poem says that was summer in our lives just for a season? I think it was.
Yes.
Some people come into our lives forever, some for a reason, and some for only a season. It's a real blessing. It's a blessing.
Yeah.
Make the acquaintances.
Definitely.
And I love it. I love it. Another thing I love, I put, because of different things I love and I learn, I love watching birds flock to their homes at sundown and then hearing and listening to them fly back in the morning. And I don't care where you are in the world. I don't know if there's too much noise or traffic if you'll hear it, but they you know, it's something they do wherever, you know, all over the world. You know, there's a certain time.
Right.
Sunday, they flock into the trees. In Hawaii, they'll go to the mango trees in the water. You know, you'll get that or other trees. And in other places, you see swarms. If you look out there and you just take a break when it's sundown and look in the sky. And look, see where you see the swarms. It's amazing to ever see. I bet you there's many people that will be listening to this that have never seen it once. And it just because we're not always looking. We're not looking for things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing.
Yeah. when I grew up in close proximity to the Mississippi River, and as a result, I mean, it was southern Illinois, right at the very tip, you were almost into Kentucky, and the birds and the butterflies, as they were going to Mexico for the winter, always passed
by. Wow.
It was the geese and everything. I mean, they were on their way. It was fascinating.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, they opened
and they opened a
new exhibit in the Museum of Natural History in New York City, which is pretty near where I live. And I went there to this butterfly exhibit, and it was like being 5 years old again.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Beautiful.
I mean, literally, the monarch butterflies. Oh, heavens. They're on their annual migration, you know?
Mm.
And those.
And
flimsy,
it's funny. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
But those flimsy,
beautiful,
tiny little things can travel thousands and thousands of miles. What are we complaining about a trip to the grocery?
Really? And you look at the cocoon, and then they come in, and they're a beautiful butterfly, and it's just, it's amazing, right? We have nothing to complain about with that, but it's the way they say, remember, inch by inch, it is a cinch. So when you have something big to do and it seems overwhelming, just start out with one little bit at a time. I love it. I'm also a big believer in dream big, and go for your dreams. Write down your goals. I always said, and I've heard, the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. They've done so many studies over and over, and people have heard where, you know, some people say you don't have to do your to-do list and goals in a certain way. Well, there's just different ways to do all of it, but you do want to visualize it. You do want to write them down. They did studies time and time again where they've taken students who graduated and wrote down their goals. And the ones that did and were very specific and really wanted it, usually 97% of those people reached at least 80 to 90% of their goals.
Yeah.
And the
Absolutely.
Ones that didn't write it down didn't reach them, you know. So it really, really makes a difference. We really can create what we want to create. We can go after what we can go after. We can live the life that we want to live.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful. And I love the rain.
I do too.
Isn't it nice? People say, it's raining, it's gloomy, and like, no, it's beautiful. The trees need it, the plants need it, the earth needs it, we need it. So I'm looking at, you know, somebody's really happy that it's raining, and it's just so beautiful when we take that time to appreciate everything around us. And people will hurt you, but still get out and love people. It's very easy to be hurt and then just quit on relationships, quit on people. And you have to keep on
just
doing it.
Just because one person hurt you doesn't mean everybody's going to hurt you.
No. No. Nope. Not at all. I don't think so. Here's a quote they have in Goodreads from Marilyn Monroe. She wrote, "I've never fooled anyone. I've let people fool themselves. They didn't bother to find out who and what I was. Instead, they would invent a character for me. I wouldn't argue with them. They were obviously loving somebody I wasn't." That's pretty insightful, huh?
Yeah, it is. It is. I remember I was living in Beverly Hills for a while. And my daughter was in the same brownie troupe with Janie Marie Mansfield.
Oh,
and so
wow.
They were going out of town, and Janie Marie was going to stay overnight with us. I'd never met Jane personally, you know, but she and Janet were friends, and Janet had been over to their place and everything. So she and Mickey Hargitay came over to deliver Janie Marie, and I said to her, gee, why don't you take off your coat? May I take your coat? She just said, oh, no, that's okay. She says, I'm incognito. And finally, and she said, and we can only stay just a minute. And so finally, after a half hour, I said, Jane, you must be dying of the heat. Take off the darn coat. And she looked at me, and all of the phony, I'm a movie star thing just fell off. And she was a delight. She was absolutely delightful, honest. And one of the things she said was, poor Marilyn, she always wanted to be a great actress. She says, me, all I wanted to do was be a success, and I am.
Wow. Yeah,
that's honesty for you, isn't it?
Very much honesty, but I would imagine so many people assume or paint pictures about the people, and it's not really who they are. Yeah, just that facade.
No.
It really, that is nice.
And we both talked about playing the violin, and, you know, I mean, we were two females sitting in my room, in my living room, you know?
But that's a tough place to be in, because sometimes it's not their fault. The people just assume and put them up on a pedestal or treat them a certain way or get jealous, which I think is that's one thing I wrote down. I wrote down, jealousy is ridiculous. People will get jealous, and all you can do is try to not be that way, because it's ugly.
Yeah.
It doesn't benefit anybody. And it's interesting when you see people that do that and you think, well, they're not really jealous. No, they're not. And then you find out later, yeah, they were, and there was no reason to be. It was all something they assumed or conjured up.
Yeah.
So that's funny. That's funny. People are all people when we can just get – that's what I love about real estate, you know, meeting people all over the world, where you can just get into a conversation, and most people after a few minutes will break the ice. You know, the veil will come off, and they start to show themselves, and I like that.
No.
It's wonderful.
And she was being very careful – to find out what I wanted, what I expected of her. And the minute she realized I wasn't expecting anything of her except to just a nice gal in my living room, she was free to be herself. And she was.
Mm-hmm.
And they stayed, you know, for like an hour and a half. Mickey Hargesty was a pain, but she was a delight. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was a pain. Huh?
He was the guy that gave himself a loophole of everything that he would say. Not that I'm a communist, but, you know, Karl Marx had a few good things to say. You know what I mean? He could never say anything straight. And he tried to trick me into... into guessing wrong. I mean, it was silly. I mean, it was embarrassing. I mean, I thought, well, you know, if she likes him, that's fine with me, you know. But I wouldn't choose him as a friend. But I would definitely have continued a friendship with her if it worked out that way. But we moved shortly after that.
Interesting how this goes. It's so interesting. I'm looking at one of the other quotes here. Maya Angelou, who I think passed away in the last.
Oh my, yes.
That long ago. Uh-huh. She was great. Courage is the most important of all the virtues, because without courage, you can't practice any other virtue consistently. And we have to reach up and get courage in many situations. Even when you were saying, you went ahead and said, hey, take off your coat to Janet, take off your coat. You know, you were brazen enough to have the courage to do that, where some people might have just felt funny, and both of you would be feeling funny, right? Both of you would just
I was uncomfortable that she was uncomfortable. I didn't want her to be uncomfortable in my home.
Right.
Simple.
Right. And that, but I could see, but you were brave enough to have courage to say, take off your coat, where some people might have just let it be uncomfortable, and then, okay, thank you, see you later, bye, you know, and then feel really funny. But in many situations like that, I think a lot of people later say, I wish I would have just said that. I wish I would have done this. And courage to be ourselves. I think
that's the word. That's what you have said that right now. That is one of the most important things you can possibly say. And if people don't like
it,
that saves you a lot of time in trying to, you know, waltzing around trying to figure out what the other person likes. And if you just be yourself and they like you being yourself,
and
then
you're in the right
place. At the base of a great friendship.
And you're in the right place. And if they don't,
yeah,
you know, as they say in the Bible, Jesus said in the Bible, dust the dust off your shoes and move on. Don't stay where you're
exactly.
not wanted.
And
I think that's one of the biggest lessons I've learned as I've gotten older, because I remember being really little, young, saying, I want to be unique. I want to be you. I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't. I just wasn't the type of person
yeah.
that, you know,
mm-hmm.
modeled after someone or said, that's my mentor. You know, I always loved God, but that's my mentor. I want to be just like her. I want to be like, him, you know, this person in business.
Uh-huh.
Never, ever, none of that, which I just, maybe I'm weird, but I really enjoyed saying, no, I want to be myself, be my own. And I have succeeded, but you can imagine, you know, it takes later as you get older, you're like, wait a minute, it's okay for me to be me and not have to, you know.
Yeah.
I believe, I mean, to me, it's important to me that integrity is there, that somebody's not lying, you know. That's important, but for
yeah.
someone else, it may not be important.
Yeah.
You know, but I think when we start really embracing ourselves, and then we can, and like you said, if you connect, you connect. If you don't,
yeah.
you don't. You shouldn't change who you are to make it work for them.
I mean, there are 7 billion people around there to be friends with. You don't have to be, this isn't
no.
the only person in the world that you can be a friend with.
Not at all. Nope.
Yeah.
So it's so amazing. It's just so good. Life is so great. The other thing, because behavior never lies, and that's a really great quote from Richard Flint, who
yes.
is an amazing person, and he's speaking and training all over the country, and he works with people on changing their lives and creating and getting what they want out of life. He's got a huge history behind him. But the quote, behavior never lies, it's so, so true. You know, it's like living alone thinking you're not eating much, but your dishwasher's full constantly, right, within a couple days.
Yeah.
It's like saying, I want to go do this, I want to create this, I want to work at this, I want to have these, do certain things, but you're doing the complete opposite, you know, so your behavior doesn't lie, right? How they say actions speak louder than words.
Sure.
And I think that's huge, because just like now we're coming up to the New Year's resolution time period, where most people make New Year's resolutions, and they say that by the end of January, or with 4 to 6 weeks, they're off the table again. They're not on the New Year's resolution, whether it's eating or, you know, losing weight, exercising, gambling, you know, addictions, other addictions, it just changes,
yeah.
just goals, things people want to accomplish, they say, from studies, and when I say they, you know, there's a lot of different studies out there, we've
yeah.
got a lot of people, so there's a lot of people to
uh-huh.
assess, to find out, you know, if these studies make sense, and they actually do, because people, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, they go back to their old habits. They kind
sure.
of forget, you know, they go back into the thing, and like Richard Flint says, behavior never lies. And
well,
so, you know.
Yeah, I don't make resolutions. I make choices.
Smart. That's smart. Very smart to do that. And you know, but they say when we're trying to quit a bad habit, we almost have to replace it with something else, because we're such creatures of habit.
You do, because
you know,
nature abhors a vacuum. You got a hole in yourself when you quit something.
Yeah. So you have to replace it. Like if you want to lose weight and you want food, you want to go for a walk or go to the gym, take an exercise class. I mean, it's not always easy stuff to replace these bad habits. Or maybe they're not bad. Some people are happy with their habits. It's just if you know you want to replace it or you want to change it, then it's
And
we
when it's something
to,
that doesn't make you happy, you choose something that makes you happy to put in between.
I have to tell you, I feel like the Pillsbury Dough Girl after the holidays. I just, I had no willpower. I had none. I ate everything, everything. I ate the pies. I ate the eggnog and eggnog ice cream. You know, I love the turkey and stuffing and gravy, but and rolls. But I just had no willpower. It was like, if there's sugar, I'm going to eat it. I'm eating it. And,
okay.
Ugh, so, right. Did it? It didn't really make me unhappy.
It was a holiday that you gave yourself permission to do that. Now you can choose to do things that are better for you, that are going to make you
feel better. Agree. It's just not always as easy as someone says. And you go, I really feel like molasses. I mean it because I'm tired. And I'm going, I have to change it. But that's so good. It's so good. So it's easy to have an addiction and say, it made me feel good. Oh, it filled a void. It just, you know, that food tastes so good. Or whatever it is. There's all many addictions.
The French, you know what the French women do to keep their figures? They order the most delicious dessert and they eat 3 bites and quit.
But I'm French.
And they really enjoy those 3 bites.
I'm serious. No, I'm French and I was raised French and I'm French and U.S. citizen and I'm telling you they can eat a lot of food too. But I think it's a little bit of different foods and not as much fat. You know, you uh-huh. find in a lot of the French cooking, they don't have as much fat in the food. They'll limit different things. But you're right. I think it's a matter of saying, that's nice. Okay, I get 1 bite of it, 2 bites. That's it. Put it away. Well,
three bites
in the house
is great, and you can make those bites last a long time. You know.
Well, I just can't have it in the house, but I'm just making a point that's my willpower is not as it should be. That's why I have a friend that, you know, I go to her and her husband's place, and they always have potato chips and all this stuff that I don't buy. Then I start munching on the chips there. You know, but we all have our own things that we need to work on if we want to work on them. And I do.
Absolutely.
But it's just those types of things where we kind of have to know ourselves and what it is and what our limits are. And, you know, and it's okay, because that's the beautiful part about in life, making mistakes, getting older, or if we're younger. So what? If we make a mistake, we go back and we do it again. It doesn't mean that it's over.
Yeah.
I was talking to a client the other day that we've got a property we're selling on the Big Island, and they're contemplating now, it was the wife's dream and his dream, but now they think financially wise they really need to sell. And then I was counseling the other day saying, you know, if it's really the dream, maybe you shouldn't sell. And I gave some suggestions on some things they could do to try to work around that. And then I was really upset, but my wife, she just feels like the dream and then it's over. And we're not going to have that dream. I said, they're looking at some of the things now of other choices, and they're probably going to go ahead and move forward. We do have an offer. But I said, wait a minute, no dream's ever over forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
They have to decide. It doesn't mean if you say we're not going to do this now that you can't do it in 2 years or 5 years, or you can't revisit it, or you can't make the dream still work another way. You know, many times we hurt ourselves because we're like, it's this all or nothing, you know? Like, I want my knight on shining armor to come. I want my knight in shining armor to come and sweep me off and be the most honest man and never cheat when I'm 5,000 miles away and all these good things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, No, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
I'm just saying, we have
of
these
course.
Things we want, but then we have to say, wait a minute, we have to, you know, but that's the thing about all or nothing. I think there is an in-between, and there is, in life.
There
we start to realize that, isn't it? How we start to realize there's an in-between there, and people have to get to know each other, and they have to, you know, and friends too. You know, as friends change, and friends have different personalities, and it really is about acceptance. And that's what they say, when we're having the worst time and going through, say, a depression or going through, you know, people can have medical issues too, so we're not here to give medical advice at all, okay, so it's not, we're not anything like that. So it's always good to talk to a doctor, go to a counselor if you're really having problems with things. But what happens when we can't accept something, that's what really gets somebody depressed, and people can get into a situation where they're into a procrastination, not moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Acceptance lets somebody say, okay, now what do I have to do to change this? It's a fact that I may have to do this or this. What can I do now to move forward in the future? Our past is great for memories, for God gives us beautiful memories. It's great to learn from. But when we live in the past and only the past, we're not living in the future. And I know I'm just Richard Flint in one of his programs mentions how we have rooms. We all have rooms, and we can't move forward with we're always living in the, you know, the past room or the other room, you know, and we have to, or we're in our heads all the time, not moving over. And this is what moving forward. What I love about goals and moving people forward with motivation, with motivations, with real estate, with what we do, selling, negotiating, we always. My biggest strength, I think, has always been negotiating in the industry when people are saying, well, what do you do that makes that work when you're involved, da-da-da-da? And I think it's the negotiating, but it's also reading and listening and making it a win-win, realizing that there must be some concessions on both sides. Nobody's happy if it's all one way or the highway, and respecting everybody and figuring out what can we do here and what can we do there to bring this together and make it work. And I think that's the one thing to me with relationships with couples and other things. There's got to be a give and take. It can't be all one way or the highway. And then with, you know, because that's where people get into that, forget it, I'm done, I can't take this, this is too much for me. You know, we all do have our limits. But that's what I've learned about as I've gotten older, that it's, now naturally in the industry I was blessed with the negotiating since I've been in this since 23, and I learned that at a young age just because of business, you know. But when you look at it with life, it really does make a difference. And not judging so much. People judge so much. It's just not good. It just makes them
upset.
But
most of all, we judge ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
And that, which brings me, you started out with my age, and I promised, remember I promised you last time we were together, I would look up a poem to read to you about getting old.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I have if you want it.
Yes, I'd love it.
It's called Warning by Jenny Joseph. When I am an old woman, I shall wear purple, with a red hat which doesn't go and doesn't suit me. And I shall spend my pension on brandy and summer gloves and satin sandals and say we've no money for butter. I shall sit down on the pavement when I'm tired and gobble up samples in shops and press alarm bells and run my stick along public railings and make up for the sobriety of my youth. I shall go out in my slippers in the rain and pick flowers in other people's gardens and learn to spit. It goes on a bit like this. It is so wonderful. You can wear terrible shirts and grow more fat and eat 3 pounds of sausages at a go, or only bread and pickle for a week, and hoard pens and pencils and beer mats and things in boxes. But now we must have clothes that keep us dry and pay our rent and not swear in the street and set a good example for the children. We must have friends to dinner and read the papers. But maybe I ought to practice a little now so people who know me are not too shocked and surprised when suddenly I'm old and start to wear purple.
I love it. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. It's so true.
So
I've heard the ones where they say, you know, they wish
there. You're there. I keep my promises.
Ma'am. You always do. You always do. You're so dependable. You're always awesome. So dependable. Yeah, I've heard the ones over the years where they said, you know, I would have danced more. I would have laughed more. I would have, you know, I would have just gone and just tried it more. Right? It's
But that is being sorry for the past. This is like, I'm going to do this to make up for the past. I like this.
You know,
positive.
You're right. And there's a Chico Xavier in the Life Lessons here wrote, though nobody can go back and make a new beginning, anyone can start over and make a new ending. And it doesn't. Life isn't over. You're not stuck with if you're not happy with what you're doing. It's just amazing. Here's another good one I love by C. Joy Bell. We have to allow ourselves to be loved by the people who really love us, the people who really matter. Too much of the time we are blinded by our own pursuits of people to love us, people that don't even matter, while all that time we waste and the people who do love us have to stand on the sidewalk and watch us beg in the streets. It's time to put an end to this. It's time for us to let ourselves be loved. And
right.
It's good. I love it. I love it.
It's time to love ourselves.
I love it. Mary Morrissey does a lot of trainings and on motivational, et cetera. And she was talking about her mother had lost her father, and they had been together, I guess, 60-some years. And her mother was late 80s or early 90s, and she just was depressed and said that I have nothing to do, my life's over, da-da-da, you know. And Mary was like, no, 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 and she finally came to her. Her mother finally came to her and said, how do you do what you do with everybody you do? Because you know how Jesus couldn't perform miracles in his own hometown, and how our own relatives and family, they don't listen to us like they should. You know, they do, but they don't. You know, it's that kind of familiarity thing.
And, they still remember to change their diapers.
Yeah, and so her mother finally called her and says, okay, can you tell me what you do, it is that you do? Because she gets people to go live their dreams, right? So she
Great.
Was like, Mom, I want you to tell me, what do you really, really like to do? She goes, well, I really like to paint or do art. And she said, well, then take a couple classes. Next thing you know, she did, and she had painting, she did things, and she was also put together. And then in her 90s, vibrantly going on and on, and then she put together something with the military to give back, you know, with paintings and things. And she was fully involved, going full speed on another episode of her life that wouldn't have happened.
Fabulous.
Here. She's in her 90s doing this, you know. So
it
is fabulous, and it really, really is. Like you said, age is not the doesn't matter. So that's
no.
And I just think it's just wonderful, wonderful. So I'm going through. Let's see. Forgiveness goes a long, long way. I know it's hard to forgive people, but it does go a long way. It's also okay to cry, grieve, to be sad. What I said before was, if you're having a bad day, curl up with a good book later and sleep. It usually looks better the next day. Like you said, take a day off. Prayer work. I pray every day. I pray many times a day. I always pray, and I ask for guidance, and it works. I mean, it just it really does work. I say there's nothing better than being a mother. I was asked before what my favorite part or aspect of my life has been, and without a doubt, it's been totally without a doubt, bar none, has been being a mom to my son. That's been the best part of my life. Live your dream, not someone else's. Live your dream, not someone else's. Listen to your heart and to your intuition. Love and peace are the most important. But being true to yourself, don't pretend you're somebody you're not just to make someone else happy. And I wanted to mention something that I want to try to see if we can do it, because it's a lot of times we're not laughing as much as we should. And I know with me, with grieving 4 or 5 years of my brother, I was not laughing, and I'm just getting back into life, you know, the way we should. And somebody mentioned a Japanese, which I know a lot of people are Japanese. I'll have to ask them if they've heard of this, but somebody else mentioned that the Japanese had this, there was a custom of doing a belly laugh. Have you ever heard of like a belly laugh? Well,
I've heard of laughing yoga and things like that, where you just
laugh. Well, what they said is, and let's try to do it, okay, and see if we can do it. It's kind of, because this is something, even if you're having a bad day or you don't, because laughter is the best thing. I remember seeing when I was 12 years old on a marquee, a sign that said, it takes 72 muscles to frown and only 14 to smile. And it's true.
There you go.
And laughter is like a natural, whatever it does in our body, we're not doing the cortisone, it's the opposite. It's helping us.
Exactly.
So you
put your serotonin.
Absolutely. And put your back back a little bit, right? And then try really hard to do a belly laugh and try to go for like 30 seconds. So, want to try it? We'll go.
Why not?
You have to force yourself. You're like this. We're going to. Yeah.
Ha 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 Imagine somebody taking it right now. Let's see it.
What? I think I need to do that to help my lungs every day. That felt so good.
There you
Didn't
go.
Did that feel good?
How do you feel
Didn't
now?
Feel good? Oh, my God, I love it. I love it. Isn't that, that's so good for us. It's so healthy.
Oh, yeah. And you get a room full of people doing that, and it's hysterical.
Oh, my God.
Everybody is looking at
day.
Each other and laughing.
Well, if you don't have soundproof and you're in an apartment or condo, somebody might say, what the heck's going on? But
yeah, right.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
It feels so good. And you know, I'm going to talk about how we have to get our the oxygen out of our lung, you know, the carbon dioxide, not oxygen.
Oh, yeah, out. Sure.
That's a good way to
yeah.
start. But didn't that feel great? And you can't help mm-hmm. but starting to really laugh when you start doing it. You just can't help it. It's just
yeah.
so, that felt good. Well, you listen out there, we're not crazy. We're just real. We're being ourselves. We hope you are, too.
It was a lovely experiment.
Yeah. So I want to do that every day. I'm going to add it to my list of things to do.
Why not?
It felt good. So it was hard to stop laughing after I got going. Wasn't it hard for you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was wonderful. So, Mary, it is always a pleasure to spend time with you. And I so appreciate you, too. And so we've got about 3 minutes left. You want to send any parting words to our listeners before we sign off and wish everybody peace and a happy new year?
Well, one of the things I would just like to say is to stop treating the little things that happen to you like a catastrophe. It's not the end of the world. Really, I heard once that one of the astronauts was, they had hooked up all of his neurologically, all of his reactions, you know, were monitored. And there was mm-hmm. 1 second when they thought maybe he was about to die. There was something terribly wrong. What's wrong? What's wrong? He said, oh, nothing. He said, I just, at first I couldn't button the button.
Oh, no. Really?
Right.
Wow.
Right. And,
everybody was assuming the worst.
We have that tendency of automatically reacting as if everything that goes wrong is a terrible disaster. And the other day, and this is a marker. This is really, really a marker of progress. The other day, I was moving a little too fast in the kitchen, and a plate fell off the drying rack and broke, a dinner plate. And I looked at it and just got out the little miniature brush and brushed it and threw it away. And there would, when I was younger, it was, oh, no, this is terrible. It's part of my set.
Right.
What am I going to do?
Right.
You know? And my reaction was none. I mean, I just time
right.
to clean it up.
I love
and
it.
That is important.
Super. Oh, that's really good. That's really, it's so important because they said don't sweat the small stuff, right? It's so, so important.
And then they said everything is small stuff. That's the corollary.
Absolutely.
Everything. Small stuff.
Everything.
Yeah.
It you know, I mean,
yeah.
it's. I know I took 4 years out of my life after my brother died. I could not say, I mean, I still kept everything going, but I certainly wasn't me.
Yeah,
and I
sure.
I made myself
yeah.
so sick. And so we can't yeah. always, you know, but you're right. I don't mean to bring that up now. You know, at the end, it's just saying that it most of it is small stuff, and we have to learn to do it. There's one last quote, Jenny O'Connell with the Book of Luke. I guess relationships are funny like that. It's impossible to figure out why some work out and others don't. While someone can be so imperfect and still be the perfect person for you, maybe in the end it's not about changing the person you care about. Maybe it's about learning what you can live with, or maybe it's really learning about what you can't live without. And to everybody out there, I happy New Year.
I need to say one thing to you.
Okay.
And instead of beating yourself up for wasting the time doing what you did,
I couldn't do it again.
Think about it and say, this is something that doesn't work for you.
Yeah, right.
It's something that doesn't work, and so you don't need to do it anymore.
For anybody, instead of beating themselves up. That's good. That's a good point, because that makes we get mad at ourselves for what we didn't do, or we beat ourselves up. Just say it didn't.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Now I know. Now I know something that doesn't work for me. I'm not going to do that anymore.
Right, and you know the damage it could do.
Then you don't blame yourself. You see, stop the blame game.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Okay, I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
Love life. No, this is great. That was wonderful. So we're at the end right now. So to everybody out there, happy New Year. I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.